If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. This is the Eat, Sleep, Really Repeat podcast, your weekly AEW review and breakdown. Introducing first, the most electrifying host in all of professional wrestling podcasts, Gnarly. Woo!
Let's go! And the other half of our hosting duo, they call me the Duke, they call me the Digital Phantom, they call me the MJF of introductions.
Oh, shit. That's
and
a
the
new
Duke
one.
Of Derbs,
I like it.
Also known as Garrett. Yo, what up, everybody?
Garrett, are you today, just Charlie? As MJF saying, if Vince McMahon pays more money, you're jumping over?
Give me what I want!
It's
I like
time!
It, bro. Bruce Buffer says it's time. That means it's time, Garrett. We had some good wrestling, man.
There was some good wrestling. The way I described it to you when we first connected today for this was up and down was wrestling this week. But like, hey, that's how it's going to be some weeks. You know, Cody Rhodes' promo isn't going to be a banger every week. You know, like, that's how it is, you know?
And as we'll touch in on our news segment, there's probably going to be some new people joining AEW in the next couple months that were out of jobs this week. So we'll be diving into that. But, Garrett, before we do, I got to say, we had the NFL draft this past weekend. And you're a Colts fan. I'm a Packers fan. I feel like this was a good draft. And I'm just really happy about it.
I just got done watching the Matt Ryan interview on Pat McAfee earlier.
Dude,
so
Matt Ryan is such a likable guy, dude. And I can't wait to see what he does. And Garrett, you might have a new number one receiver on your team. Mr. Alec Pierce. He's a big old white boy that runs a 4.33. I mean.
Yeah, how about that? A white wide receiver in the NFL. Right? That?
Shades of Anthony Gonzalez, except that guy move as fast as a fucking turtle.
I mean, actually, I joke, but like, you know, obviously there was Danny Amendola for years, right? Like,
yeah, and
like, you know, like, and he ended up, you know, tapering off, but like, it's not completely unheard of. But you know, so what specifically is interesting to you about that guy? I'm just curious, like, what jumps out to you about him?
I think the thing he does is he possesses enough qualities that he can play the X receiver, which is your first technical receiver. And what's going to be good about this is he is going to make the entire depth chart better, and that's going to let our boy, the fishing god, Michael Pittman, play better.
Absolutely. And Garrett, you know what we need on the Michael and Kiara channel? I'm calling them out. They don't listen to this podcast, but I'm calling them out. We need Herbert and him to go back out. Now
it needs to happen.
Completely different level.
It needs to happen.
They're both star NFL players now. They need to do it. They need to do it.
Garrett, we need a draft in AEW.
AEW.
I love the
draft.
Idea of a fucking draft, but that would mean splitting brands. In my
yeah, imagine what would the Rampage roster look like right now?
And some people already think they're split up, but fuck. Moving on, we'll jump into our, unless there's something else I'm missing, our favorites.
We usually do news after favorites, right?
Okay,
I'm trying to remember the order we do stuff in.
So
we can do whatever order we want. The show's on the fly.
This is on the fucking wave. I'll kick us off with the favorites this week. And Garrett, maybe it's no surprise, maybe to surprise, given I hate the feud, but Sammy Guevara versus Scorpio Sky ladder match for the TNT Championship. And I'm going to bury the lead here. Again, this is I wish we were keeping track. I think this might be the fifth or sixth week in a row we've had a Dynamite main event as a favorite, which is you want to make your main events matter. And I'm fucking down with that.
Absolutely.
And not to also bury the lead, but this is the pop that I feel like in a weird way Scorpio deserved. And I'm so happy he was able to finally be a babyface and get this big pop, win the championship, and I'm so down with it. So it's something pretty cool. So what did you think of this one?
There was a lot of really fun stuff in this match. The TKO from midair. I mean, you know, it's basically the same thing as the cutter from midair, but whatever. This whole match was supposed to run back that history anyway. Literally run it back. It was actually supposed to delete it from the canon. No. They had a Spanish fly onto the barbed ladder at one point. Ow. That looks like that, like, really hurt a lot.
It was kind of unique, right?
Yeah.
Like, I personally don't think I've seen that spot before.
I don't even know if I've seen a barbed ladder before, but I don't know if I've seen it used in that way. Just like they tipped the ladder over at one point. I'm sorry about the dogs, everybody. They tipped the ladder over and just used that at some point.
Yeah, and I gotta say, there was a move Sammy attempted here. I think Sammy literally almost died. He was probably...
There was a couple times he almost died.
But off the ladder, he did like his little crazy thing that he likes to do. Which I love that he does that. But my God, this one, it got close there. But yeah, I like the pace of this.
Yeah, he looked like he needed a second after that one. Like, damn.
I like the pace of this. I feel like the Paige Van Zandt stuff was perfectly timed. And this is going to work better with her as a face. Because if they're getting buried as a heel and she ends up not being so good right away in the ring.
How about that? Dan Lambert is representing a babyface organization now. That's what's happening.
Yeah, and, you know, now we
hate... He makes Lambert a face. And he actually kind of leaned into that a little bit in the promo stuff. Like,
he did, and I think he can make it work. I do think... Or I shouldn't say I think. I hope. I'll fantasy book a little here. I do hope that now Scorpio and Ethan can kind of go their own way and kick off Lambert. And then maybe reform SCU, but with Frankie. After... Scorpio and Frankie have their little feud here, which I'm cool with. I love these guys together, man. Seeing them back on BTE a couple weeks ago for the BTE 300, it just made me so happy. And like, I'm just ready for these guys to be a group again, but with Ethan. Because since Christopher Daniels isn't really working like that anymore, you know?
Yeah, I agree. The one thing that's really fucking sad, though, is that the TNT title has basically been run into the ground, and it was one of my favorite titles to watch for a good while there. Especially, like, if you go back like to like months ago when it was on Miro, you know, like, and the journey that championship went through all the way to when Cody left, you know, up until then the championship felt like it meant so much. And you can take it even further back than that, to when it was, you know, the original run with Cody. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like,
well, that, and now it's kind of Brody's title, and it's branded as the workhorse title, and we need to get back to that.
It's just been buried. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. Like, it feels like they just hotshotted it around to get rid of some history that they didn't like anymore suddenly. But like, I don't know. It just feels like
it's dangerous to hot potato a title too often, and I feel like now they have to take it.
You can't Scorpio needs to hold this for like Scorpio another 300 ring. Days or something. He needs to go undefeated again for like 300 days now, even though you just had him lose an undefeated streak. It's like, I don't know what's going to have to happen here.
You have to take him on a journey with a great character development here. And he has to go on this journey, and maybe it's Ethan down the road or something, or, you know, maybe they form.
I would love to see a babyface Scorpio face a heel Ethan.
I think it could be great. And if you do it properly, that could be the feud going into All Out for this title. And it's a feud we care about because Scorpio's had great matches. And we're going to talk about someone who returned to Dark this week. And, you know, Takeshita, maybe the goal is to get Takeshita to go for this. Or maybe they're going to work back around.
A similar thing with him and Kenny, by the way.
Yeah, and maybe they'll work back around to having Andrade go for this again. Or, you know, insert another name that's a great talent. And they just, it's dangerous to hot potato a title. You have to address, you know, I'm glad they didn't make, in my opinion, the mistake of keeping this on Sammy. Maybe that added to the match for me and why I enjoyed it so much. And I wasn't really expecting that pop. If we had done predictions on this, I think I would have picked Sammy to retain. And I wasn't expecting it. It was the proper move. And now let Sammy and Ty Conti, you know, do what they're going to do. But you can still run Ty Conti. And I don't know what they're going to do with that. Maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of silly because you've got Ty Conti tied up with Paige Van Zandt still, because they never started that for whatever reason. Even though they had the Scorpio feud going on in the background the whole time. So now you have this maybe, mistimed feud between them that's going to have to seem completely separate.
Exactly. And maybe that is
so you're probably going to have Scorpio just come out with Ethan for a while, which is like, okay, fine. But like, you know.
Maybe you can bridge Lambert off with and have him just be a manager for her instead of the guys. If that's the route they go down. Because fortunately for them, there is going to be one of the best managers in wrestling, probably on his way to AEW, as we'll talk about in the news. And, you know, there's going to be some more wiggle room. So, yeah. Since we talked about my favorite, Garrett, what was your favorite this week?
Yeah, I think probably one of the most anticipated matches going into a show recently had to be Dax versus Cash. I mean, everything that these two guys touch right now is just golden. This was one I was actually originally going to tune into live just because I wanted to see, you know, the reactions on Twitter as it was going, but I just ended up watching it later anyway. But I think I ended up watching it the night of. I don't think I waited. I didn't want to see, like, spoilers and stuff. Like,
I think that was what I did, too. I think I watched it, like
3 in the morning or something. Like, it was, like, really late after my stream. I figured I was really busy that day, but I ended up watching it. Anyway. And they wrestled the shit out. Like, it was Texas Ketchikan or whatever they call that. Like, whatever JR always says that I can't pronounce properly because I don't actually know the term. They did the thing that no one was, like, expecting them to do, where they did the subtle breakup planting scene, which obviously they're not going to break up, you know. Although they might. I mean, especially after how successful this match was. I mean, never say never in wrestling, right? But I don't think they actually will, at least anytime soon. I just think they built up like a perfect story in this match. You know, there was references to Bret Hart, like CM Punk did last week with the different kinds of pinfall combinations and stuff like that. And, you know, the result was exactly what everyone expected it to be, you know, because it just makes sense. But it just felt like they did the perfect thing. I mean, it felt like, you know, this match on paper looked perfect. And I like that in the storyline, basically, the reason why was they both wanted to be in the tournament to represent Bret Hart, and only one of them could be in it. And so they both decided to have a match with each other, you know? Just, well, beautifully done. I agree. There's not really much else to say. Some of these matches just kind of speak for themselves, you know? Like,
you know, I was gonna that show is somebody. A fucking brilliant way to put it. And that can be described for a couple of the matches in the recent weeks, too. You know, mainly Dax and Punk. That speaks for itself, man. They let them go and it fucking worked. And I'm with you. I think there was some good storytelling here. Of course there was, right? And
I mean, yeah.
Again, Garrett, our favorites bookended Dynamite. That is the way. You know, hey, man, if you're playing GM mode, that's the way you want your shows to go, right?
That's how you book your shows in GM mode.
But no, this was so much fun. And I can't put it any better.
Chain Tony wrestling. Khan must be playing like 2008 GM mode because he also threw Lance Archer worth his Wardlow in the middle of the show. So
he fucking sent it. And
the middle segment is also important, you know, but.
And something I got to point out, man, this, you know what these matches are starting to feel like to me?
What's that?
In a good way. And, okay. And maybe this is the New Japan thing speaking here a little bit, but I feel like some of these matches are like some G1 climax fucking block matches that we're getting. And they don't really feel like qualifying matches. They feel like this. I mean, this is what matters the most. Like, they're already in the tournament.
I was going to say that about the whole Owen Hart tournament. Feels like a New Japan style tournament. Now, without like a round robin style, but like with the stakes.
Yeah. And the most recent New Japan Cup, I believe, was round robin style. So it's like, maybe there is some who knows? But I think the best thing we can do, and we can say here, is these qualifying matches don't feel completely obvious. And they feel like they're already in the tournament, and they're fighting to move on to the next stage. Because the only qualifying match that we kind of knew the result was Nightingale versus Red Velvet. And that was because Nightingale wasn't signed. So, unfortunately. Yeah. But other than that, and we have unfortunately, we had a spoiler on one of the new ones coming, and we got the one this week, which, believe it or not, I don't know the match this week, how well it looks on paper to me, Mr. Bobby Fish and Jeff Hardy. We'll talk about that. I don't know how good that looks on paper, but These guys fucking delivered.
The guys on the roster, right? Like,
yeah. Racking up to the...
Well, the Bobby Fish, you can't tell at all in the ring, so I mean, you know.
And I want to say the right winner was picked here, too. I think Dax is the proper winner.
I mean, if you wanted to go for the shock value and have Cash win, that'd be cool, but I don't think Cash wins the tournament. I think Dax should win this tournament, let's just be honest.
Garrett, you know who I want to see him face, and I don't know if he's going to be in the tournament. I need Dax versus Orange Cassidy.
I'd like to see that on like a random Dynamite or something. I don't necessarily need that. Because
Orange Cassidy to actually go far in this tournament. I think you can have him beat Dax.
He really does need that redemption.
He does, man. And you can have him because Dax is most likely going to lose his next one if it's against a single star again, which I'm assuming. But then again, you shouldn't say single star of this company because they're all treated like fucking high prolific wrestlers. But
do you know who I think is the most disappointed that they can't be in this tournament right now?
Uh-oh. Who's that?
CM Punk.
Oof. You know what, though? You're right. But
as much as he wants that world title, he would love to be in the Owen
Danielson too, man.
Tournament. Oh yeah, true. Well, I think he's fine with what he's doing right now.
He's reminding me of something else. I need to look.
I think Danielson's about to be a world tag team champion. To be completely honest with you, relatively soon. Like maybe not like soon, but like next couple pay per views, I think is a good chance. The Blackpool Combat Club Bucks out was.
Yep, I definitely think if they don't bring out those trios titles soon enough, yes, they should.
Especially if they haven't, I think Wheeler may drop that pure title relatively quickly to some new star. I don't think that he's. I don't think that title makes sense to have him. I think he should be either like TNT champion or he should be going after something. Like he's been on a huge winning streak. Like he needs something, maybe the Ring of Honor world title shot or something. I don't know.
And it could work. So I'm thinking
Gresham needs something to do.
I'm thinking let's hit our news real quick and then we'll dive right in. We'll get Elevation and Dark results as well as Dynamite and Rampage for you guys.
All right. So there was a lot of stuff that happened this week.
Yeah. Yeah. So real quick for news, let's start it off on a good note here. New PWG world champion, and it couldn't go to a fucking better man. And Bandido has been dethroned because Daniel Garcia has captured the PWG championship. Let's fucking go, man.
I mean, I'm not really surprised, especially the way that Excalibur talks about, Daniel Garcia all the time. And it's also his perfect style, right? Like,
and I just can't help but root for this guy.
I keep saying this, but I really wish Daniel Garcia had ended up with the Blackpool Combat Club. Maybe one day. Because, man, I think he's the second coming of Bryan Danielson, dude. I swear. Like,
it's just everything he touches, it fucking turns to gold. He's got the Midas touch, dude.
I think he has that ability. Like, if he got somebody like that, like or like Regal or both of them, like to train him in that art of like just brutalizing and submissions, like Oh, it could be so beautiful.
It could be special. But
he absolutely deserves it. You know, I can't think. Oh, I don't know if you have this in news, by the way, because this is a similar vein to me. Wheeler Yuta got announced for the Super Junior Tournament.
You know what's funny is I added that. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so, I wasn't sure if you added that.
We will be talking about this in 2 seconds here. I'm just going to hit. So we do have some more Tokyo Joshi Pro wrestlers coming to AEW. And sweet. I might not have the pronunciation correct here, but okay. Yuka Sakazaki, she is on her way. And yeah, it sounds like May 3rd was her last event. And she was last in AEW and a trios match in 2019's Double or Nothing. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, so she should be here soon. I'm assuming we're gearing up for a lot more, I guess, Japanese wrestlers kind of becoming more of an influx this summer, which is a great sign.
We had a lot for a while. There was a good while where we had Emi Sakura, Mei Suruga, Lulu Pencil, and Ryo Mizunami all on shows all the time, as well as, you know, you have like, obviously like Shida and Riho and all that. But like, you know, I would like to see some more of them come back because obviously we've had two AEW women's world champions that were former, you know, students of like Emi Sakura, I think, like, right. Like, so like,
and it's like, it's something that I can't wait.
I could be wrong about that,
but I agree. And we even might be getting back into it with Dark here this week and stuff. So I think this is a great sign for the women's division. Just keep bringing all the talent in that we can, man. I mean, we had Trisha Dora again on this week. They need to – oh, my God, dude. Trisha Dora is so fucking good. But let's do the releases last. The 29th Best of Super Juniors is going to begin May 15th, and it'll end June 3rd. So I'm guessing we might not see Wheeler Yuta. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how that's going to work, but – yes,
we had to take some time off. They could just literally have like Mox and you. Here's what I would do: just have Mox and Danielson run some tag matches for a little while he's gone. You know what I mean?
And it could
work. Add another member. And it's your time to add another member.
So we got a couple cool names here that are in the Best of the Super Juniors. One of them being Impact Wrestling's Ace Austin. That's really cool to see. Alex Zane, one of our guys. Alex Zane, right. who hasn't been on AEW yet. He's only been on Ring of Honor. He's one of those 205 Live guys that we often mention on this show with Alex Zane, Anthony Green, Blake Christian. And you know, fuck it. I'll start adding
Anthony Green.
Yeah,
Anthony Green on Twitter acknowledging Dexter Lumis. Interesting.
Garrett, this Italian prodigy that is a member of the United Empire now, Francisco Akira, he will be in the tournament. So
interesting.
He's someone I have not seen work yet, but he is he's been getting touted a lot. My boy Robbie Eagles, big fan of Robbie Eagles, and then Wheeler Yuta, TJ Perkins, and then everyone else is kind of they're already on New Japan, but Wheeler Yuta will be representing AEW, so good for him. Honestly, he's in Block B. I wouldn't be surprised if New Japan's like, you know what, we'll let him go to the finals. We'll let him go to the finals, and he can face Takahashi for the title. I could totally see it. Sounds awesome. I could totally see them going that route, but no, we had to touch that. But so this is kind of one of the bigger stories for us, and we're going to toss a couple ideas out, and that was the NXT releases. And funny enough, we're recording this on a Monday this week, and there's actually even more news today with Roderick Strong requesting his release, as he fucking should.
Absolutely. Yes. We need the full Undisputed Elite together.
Oh, my God. That shirt, by the way, was beautiful. So, a couple big names here, and many of them are involved in current storylines. Right off the top, you got Dexter Lumis, one of the more character-driven guys that has been...
Yeah, they gave him a gimmick before he was ever going to debut on the main roster that absolutely would have carried up in the same way that, like, Damian Priest did. You know, like...
The guy has been over for 3 years without talking.
Never said a word.
Literally. And he's been over. And, you know, I don't know, man. That one I don't get. I'll be glad to watch him wrestle again. He's actually one of my favorite ones to tune into when I would watch NXT 2.0. Harland, this is a shock. So Parker Boudreaux, he got the name Harland, and he had to be the most hyped up non-wrestler I've personally seen join the company in God knows how long. I mean, this guy has celebrities upon celebrities, like replying to his shit, commenting on his shit, like Lil Baby, Kevin Durant, like serious A-list celebrities. And apparently he wasn't progressing like they thought. Garrett, I'm not kidding you. Tony Khan needs to jump on Parker, and this is the kind of guy you wrestle dark, and you wrestle in Ring of Honor. Get him working with some of the best in the world, because if he's bringing that kind of star factor, and the guy has a look, he looks like a mini Brock Lesnar until they made him look like a creep. And then we have to talk about Malcolm Bivens, one of the just best managers in the world. They pitched him to be with Omos. He said nope. And I guess he's been requesting his release for a while, and Diamond Mine completely fell apart now. So those are kind of our oh, and we'll talk about one more here. Dakota Kai, Garrett.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Dakota Kai has been in NXT.
They have given AEW an entire women's division.
They literally have.
Like, literally.
And I can't wait to see Dakota Kai
sign a couple of more people. They have a full one. And it seems like they're getting pretty close to signing Deonna Purrazzo. So, like.
Yep. So. And then there was a few more, but these are kind of your main four here. And so, yeah, I mean, what do you think about them? Any of them in AEW? All of them?
Dexter Lumis.
I mean, I'm sure at some point we see them all in Dark or some variants, unless they stop wrestling.
I mean, we saw Marina Shafir on Dark for months, and now she's like a main
she's probably going to be, if she's not signed, she should be. Like, yeah. It'd be amazing, actually, if she wasn't signed and she actually did get a title shot, though. That'd be unprecedented. But, well, not unprecedented, but it'd be really cool. But anyway, I mean, I'd like to see Bivens, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you could absolutely use a guy. I can't believe
they pitched that guy to be with Omos.
That actually might have worked, but I don't
think it might have worked. Omos,
bro, everybody on the roster says Omos needs to be on his own for a bit. I think they just need to let him be on his own. Like, that's what I think needs to happen. Like,
he needs to go to, yeah, unfortunately, he would be one that would do better in NXT now, but
literally, yeah. NXT 2.0 would actually be perfect for him, I think. Because it would give people the opportunity to learn how to work, and he would also have the opportunity to learn how to work, and they wouldn't have to be like stellar wrestlers to wrestle a match against him, yeah. You know?
But Garrett, so, I mean, if Dakota Kai, I have to ask, I mean, how does she never win the title? I feel like Dakota Kai has been someone that everyone was doing like, okay, yeah, she's probably next. And then, well, no, this new person they just signed is
going to be. Same way Aaliyah never wins the title. I mean, because they just never put them in that position, you know, like.
And then when it finally felt like it was her time, they gave it to the partner because they want to try to get the partner more over in Raquel Gonzalez, who got called up to the main roster.
Yeah, I mean, Raquel Gonzalez is super over now. Like,
and
I
it's mean, just like, damn, man. It felt like her time was always next. And even as recently as Mandy Rose, everyone kind of thought, you know, Dakota Kai is probably taking this and it's probably her time next. And then she loses the shot and 2 weeks later she's gone.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just don't understand why they think that they don't want to have a women's division all of a sudden. Like, if what I'm hearing from what, like, Athena is saying in her interview with Chris Van Vliet, did you see that, by the way?
If I call bits and pieces.
Saying is true, then I can't imagine there's going to be quite a few women up on the main roster that are going to have an issue with that because they were a part of this little thing called the Women's Revolution where they got rid of all that stuff, you know, like,
yeah,
it is absurd. And I did say to everybody on the podcast a few months ago, or maybe a few weeks ago, I can't remember how long ago it was now, several episodes ago, that WWE is going to start firing all of the wrestlers you watch. They don't want wrestlers in NXT right now. They want developmental talent that they can turn into wrestlers. But they don't want wrestlers that are already established because they can't. And they're
only making
them.
The exceptions for super young people. Which yeah, I totally get.
I mean,
but it's weird, man. It's weird. I don't know how
has NXT UK, by the way, how did it avoid for years getting gutted like completely? I mean, I know for a long time it was nothing, but like,
and now it feels like they're getting talent over every week, right? There's another one that Nathan Frazier, one of the guys from Seth Rollins' school, he's now in NXT 2.0 from UK. So I mean, it feels like all the tag teams have jumped. It feels like so.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird, man. I'll be right back. But yeah, let's. You want to take the people through Dark Elevation this week, and then I'll get him in the dark.
Yeah. All right. Can you pause really quick? All right. Back from my freshly squeezed urine. have episode Elevation, Dark Elevation episode 60. Dark Elevation. All right. Anyway. So speaking of dark, we have the Dark Order's Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, Alan Angels, and Alex Reynolds taking on a team of Luther, Bulk Nasty, Tito Oreck, Jake Owen, and R.C. Dupree. Oh, that's right. Ten was in there as well.
Hell yeah.
And I named all the jobbers. Bulk Nasty. First of all, before I continue, Bulk Nasty, Charlie.
I'm. That sounds like a local talent in the My GM mode, and I'm fucking down.
All right. Interesting moonsault combo. I think it was like Alex Reynolds and Alan Angels or something like that. Anyway, I forget. There was just a really interesting moonsault combo. They hit him with the fatality for the W, greatest finisher name of all time. Chris Statlander took on Julia Hart. Why was this match so long?
Dude, I don't know if we have the time of it, but this got like 13 minutes, it feels like.
It got way too long. Like, I liked some of the stuff that Julia did, but like, she almost did die once on one spot. I think Chris Statlander saved her life, I think, at one point on some slam move they were trying to do. I liked Chris Statlander's music, by the way. That was good.
The new music is really good. Her whole presentation feels nice.
Yeah, I like they completely repackaged her. It's good. I like it. I like the new gear. I like the new attitude. nasty German suplex in there. The new name of the finisher, Night Fever. I love it. This whole new gimmick for Chris Statlander is great, but
it works.
We don't need 13-minute Julia Hart matches. Match number three. We mentioned this guy earlier, Konsuke Takeshita. I believe I got that correct. I fucked it up. It's Takeshita. I literally. Okay, listen. I'm a dumb American. Okay, it's Takeshita.
Takeshita. Yep.
I actually thought I was gonna fuck up his first name, guys, because that. So what I want you guys to do is go to. Go to the Dark, because there's a comment. People like put timestamps in the comments of Dark Elevation usually, and look at the way it's spelled. I'm just saying it is not easy to pronounce if you are not brought up pronouncing names like that. I did my best. I apologize.
I feel like I've said this name in my head for a couple months, and I always said Takeshita.
I was practicing it all fucking pre-show, guys. It was brutal.
Hopefully it's a name that we have to get used to saying, though.
Excalibur, I am not.
Because this guy is, right. This guy's special.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. I liked it. I loved, dude, he absolutely killed Cutler with a forearm at one point. He was just like, oh, okay, we'll put your arms down to the side here. Yep, you're dead. And he died. I think they gave Cutler a little bit too much. I liked when he wasn't really able to, like, his gimmick was that he couldn't wrestle, right? Like, but now he can wrestle, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah,
they said he likes to use the Blue Thunder Bomb as like a finishing move, but like Cutler kicked out of it, I guess. But
and he gave a shout out to El Generico, which is fucking awesome.
That was interesting. Yeah,
Excalibur.
I guess he's going to be using a leaping knee strike to finish. I don't know what this guy's finisher is going to be. I really liked what he was doing, though. I'd like to see him maybe be on like Ring of Honor or something. That'd be really interesting.
It's the little things that he does, and he does them well. Garrett, I have a prediction for him. I mean, this tournament might be filled up, but I think you throw this guy in a qualifying match and actually have him win it. Win the qualifying match to get in the tournament.
And maybe he makes it to the semifinals but loses or something. Yeah,
but that's it. He's got to get on TV first. They're probably just going to warm him up using Dark, which they're doing with a go-go still too. So
true.
We'll see.
So, wait, who? I haven't seen that guy in weeks.
He's actually on.
I don't even know if that guy still exists. Yeah. All right, match. What is this? Match number four. With Tony Nese taking on the Steel City Brawler, whose gimmick was that he's a Steelers fan. Running knee for the win.
I kind of like this match, though. I don't know why. There's a weird part of me that enjoyed this.
No, he gave Steel City Brawler a little bit, but obviously the guy wasn't that great. Like, he wasn't a super highly trained wrestler. It didn't seem like, but he seemed like he was pretty strong, so he was able to do some stuff. You know?
Yeah.
It was good. Match number five, is it? Yeah. Suzuki versus QT Marshall. New factory music too. Okay,
cool.
It sounds better than the I mean, it's the same thing but different. Anyway, QT also got dropped hard by the forearm from Suzuki. He was like, hit me with your best shot, and Suzuki just smiled and he was like,
doink.
Okay,
caught him with it.
And he dropped like a sack of potatoes. The Gotch style pile driver for the win. Suzuki's on Dark, I guess.
They're trying to warm up the crowd and having more stars on Dark. If they keep this trend up and it's not just a couple week fling, cool.
Yeah, exactly. In the next match, we had Johnny Hungy getting a little squash.
Johnny fucking Hungy.
I'd be chill with a singles run for John Silver. Get a little bit of Spin Doctor love out there. And that's what he used to win. He picked up the one with that. And in the next match, we had two. So the other thing is that they claimed this was like a double main event. So we had in the first main event, we had Sky Blue, Ruby Soho, and Anna Jay taking on Nyla Rose, The Bunny, and Emi Sakura. I don't really feel like the match ever really got going. I had a good ending to it, and Anna Jay picked up the win with the Queen Slayer.
I agree, it didn't feel like it got going.
Does it really need to be a double? I mean, this need to be dubbed a double main event. I'm not saying this match didn't live up. I'm saying, was this necessary? Does Dark and Elevation need to have a double main event sometimes? I don't really know if it does. Because, like,
yeah,
that would imply people watch the show that aren't like beyond super fan level, you know. Like I don't know. But in the the other main event of the show, we had Max Caster taking on Penta Oscuro.
Penta
Oscuro. Yeah, and
I like this.
The arm break, yeah, it was a good match. And the one with the arm breaker thing, whatever that thing is called. They need a name for that move or something. Just like break the arm. I like that Max Caster is getting singles matches because obviously Bowens is, I think, still hurt, right? I actually don't know. He took a little bit of a bump in some of the stuff, but who knows when that was filmed, yeah, right?
I'm assuming we're just going to see him pop up again in a tag match and be like, oh, there he is.
Well, it's weird because we also saw Darius wrestle, right? Even though.
Yes, so, but that was.
On the last episode of Dark, they've shouted out his injury or something, like, you know, like.
Yeah, and so Darius
wrestled. Maybe it was on Dynamite.
On Dark this week. Oh, was that the end of the show?
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah, that was the end of okay. episode.
Yeah, so Darius wrestled 16. On Dark this week, but it was from Friday, April 15th. This was taped before Battle of the Belts. So, theoretically, I believe he was still good to go then, right? So, yeah.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. It just depends on when they tape stuff.
It's do weird, you have the Dark?
Sometimes they should keep that continuity, I think, you know?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, so take us through Dark 140.
Yeah, do you have episode 140? Okay, so Red Velvet starts us off beating this enhanced battalion, Dolce Tormenta. Cool.
Yep.
Just kind of is what it was. Lee Moriarty wrestled. He defeated Serpentico. Serpentico even jumped Moriarty at the bell, but he pretty much took him down pretty quickly. Won with his elevated DDT. So
yep,
I'm cool seeing Lee Moriarty on TV. You know.
Absolutely.
That's a good look for me. Anna Jay and Sky Blue defeated The Bunny and Rochelle Rose. And I like this team of Anna Jay and Sky Blue. It worked.
It started out interestingly. Like, they dodged a sneak attack for once, which I feel right? like people should do that more.
We don't see that often, right?
Yeah. They were probably like, hey, why don't you guys try and sneak attack us, and then we'll just dodge. And they were like, oh, yeah, no one ever does that.
Oh, yeah, good shit. That makes sense.
Shit. And then, yeah.
But, yeah, and then it looks like we jumped into Penta Oscuro defeating QT Marshall. And, I mean, this,
yep.
you know.
Nice ending sequence to it. I liked that.
Yeah, it worked. I think the idea here with Penta is just we're just keeping him hot while Phoenix was out. And the crowd wanted to see him. So his little run as a single wrestler. If you think
about the two matches that QT booked himself this week, he booked himself against Suzuki and Penta. I mean, you couldn't book yourself a worse week than that. Like,
it fucking works, right? good. Yeah, you know, that's a good way of putting it for QT. Abaddon defeated Charlotte Renegade, so Renegade's back on TV. They probably let her get this one while the sister wrestled that qualifier match. You know what? That was the other qualifier match that we knew the result of, but that was still pretty fun. But yeah, this was over in 20 seconds with the leg draping DDT. And then we had the clusterfuck main event. The Hardys, Top Flight, and Frankie Kazarian defeated the AFO, Private Party, and Helico and the Blade, and Max Caster. But, I mean, this was perfectly fine, right? This was yeah, fun. I mean,
they didn't have Jeff do that much, so he didn't really...
Yeah, Jeff just... I mean, the only thing I could think of, Jeff had the hot tag. He just did a couple things.
He does a great hot tag. Like I think that's always been something I never hear people talk about with him. When he falls, like, this is so subtle. When he falls for a hot tag, it looks so, like he does, like, it's so much less effort than what other people do. But it's so much more effective because it's just believable that he's, oh, yeah, you look tired. Jeff's tired. Because, yeah, like, right? Even if you don't think Matt's the better wrestler, I think we all kind of know that even though Jeff is crazier, obviously Matt's a little slightly more technically proficient than Jeff, you know, like.
And he makes it work, in my opinion. And this was fun. I mean, I love seeing Top Flight. I'm always going to love seeing those guys. And, you know, this was for the crowd to see the Hardys and stuff. So for what it is, I'm cool with it.
But yeah, Private Party can only feud with Matt Hardy forever. That's forever. The rule.
Yeah, they can't move on. They're not allowed.
You're not going anywhere.
So yeah.
By the way.
Yep, go ahead.
Something I actually have at the top of Dynamite that I forgot to mention during Dax versus Cash was CM Punk was on commentary for that match.
Yeah, that was a nice touch. That works.
Mostly, I think, because he just wanted to watch the match. But also, I think he could just sat out in the crowd if he really wanted to. So I think he actually thought he could add something to it. And I think he did.
Oh, you know how it is. Get that CM Punk pop. It works.
Absolutely. Get those ratings. He also cut a promo right after, which we'll get to. But, you know, like,
jump into it right now, because Dynamite started off with your favorite, which Dax Harwood qualified for the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. After that, we see some footage of Hangman Page. He can't be there because Hangman's recovering from COVID. Hopefully you're doing all right there, Mr. Cowboy shit. And yes, CM Punk starts cutting a promo talking about, you know, pretty much he's a fan of Adam Page, but he knows he's next. And yes, CM Punk versus Adam Page at Double or Nothing, Garrett. I believe we were clearly going to get started on the road to it this week. They still kind of tried to, you know, they had to pivot.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, how are you feeling knowing that that's the feud we're getting?
I'm excited because it means we could have CM Punk as AEW world champion, which I think there's a pretty good chance of. So as we get closer to the pay-per-view, we'll start finalizing predictions and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I'm pretty confident right now that's what's going to happen, you know?
And I'm fucking down with it.
The way it's booked could change my opinion on that. But I think right now that's the way I see it, you know?
Agreed, and I think it's gonna work. I have good feelings about it. I feel confident in what they're gonna do.
Do you know what I want though?
What's that?
So bad. I want CM Punk and FTR to form a trio.
My God. Yes.
And maybe they're the one that gets Lee Moriarty.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, that'd be incredible. But okay. Anyway. Imagine that 8-man tag match, CM Punk, FTR, Lee Moriarty versus Wheeler Yuta, Brian Danielson, Daniel Garcia, and John Moxley. Imagine that match.
That's the Battle of the Pillars. Become the Bees.
I just booked myself into a Double or Nothing main event. But anyway,
have to. Oh, we cut to Scorpio backstage with Dan Lambert, and they're pretty much just talking about it's not a coincidence where he's at today. Just previewing the main event. We get the Blackpool Combat Club, Moxley, Danielson, and Yuta versus The Factory, Cutie Marshall, Aaron Solo, and Nick Camarado. And I think the story here again, Garrett, is Wheeler Yuta. Wheeler Yuta is being presented as a fucking big star. And they hit their he had some new gear. He had a new intro video package. That intro video package, the blood all over it, looked fucking sick, by the way.
Yes.
But yeah, man, anything else? This match was what it was, right? I mean, you kind of said, you mentioned something earlier. I mean, the match speaks for itself. This match speaks for itself for just the fact of getting these guys another trio win. And I thought maybe, is there potential that they're going to start working in, maybe picking up Aaron Solo or something? But it looks like they're still just working as a trio, and we're not getting to the point of recruiting next. Maybe they recruit while Wheeler Yuta's in Japan.
That'd be interesting.
Right?
Maybe they recruit Mr. Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Be pretty crazy.
That Italian guy.
The Italian. Italian stallion. No, that Italian needs to go to WWE and team up with
Matt Riddle so they can be the Stallions. After Daniel Garcia won his the PWG title, we already have his next challenger. Mr. Konosuke Takeshita.
Yeah, so that should be interesting. I'm definitely going
to
try and see that.
I can't believe this guy's back in the States like this. Like, this makes me so happy. Well, I should say to the States now like this. I just can't wait to see what he does here in North America. I think I'm so curious to see his trajectory a year from today. But we get backstage.
Yeah, no, it's
exciting. Tony Schiavone's with Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Jamie Hayter and Tony Storm. Tony says Britt has Jamie. She wants him to meet her friend Ruby Soho. And pretty much they're going off and off, and it's setting up a match for the following week.
Yep.
I'm cool.
That should be a fun time match.
Yeah, get these ladies in a feud and get them on TV. We need it. Britt to not be in a title feud is also nice to see.
Yes.
Lance Archer with Jake Roberts versus Wardlow. MJF and Sean Spears are in the press box. The handcuffs. I mean, the whole shebang here. Wardlow beat his ass. Straight up.
Bro, this was Wardlow's coming out party part like 13. Like
Wardlow beat his ass.
Dude, I could... do you remember... This is so fucking eerie now, Charlie. I remember saying to you months ago when Wardlow versus MJF was just being teased and he was having a few matches here and there because of what he was doing on Dark. They stopped putting him on Dark because I think I started to see it too much because they were starting to let him do some of the stuff, I think, for practice, like so he would stay, get some reps at it or whatever. I don't know why, or maybe he just wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I could see how good he was. Then I said to you then, I think Wardlow might be the best big man in AEW. And everyone was like, okay.
It's like, come on, really?
Because I mean, the potential. The time, Powerhouse Hobbs was just starting his incredible run he's been on. And I'm not discounting what Powerhouse Hobbs can do.
No.
However, Archer himself is athletic as hell for a big man. So to keep up with him as a big man, you got to be athletic. And Wardlow is managing to do that the entire time. I think this is truly Wardlow becoming the Wardlow that I could see him as. And everyone else can see it now, too. They just let him pull out everything that he could do in this match. The man hit like a swanton. Like,
yeah. No, for real. This
is like, men this size don't do that.
No, they don't. And I'm 100% with you. And I'm going to take a saying from our good brother, Robert Meyer Burnett. We're parking our shuttlecrafts in the same shuttle bay here. Wardlow... This is it. Man, Wardlow is special. He beat the... Lance Archer is protected. Like, this is not some guy that gets his ass beat.
I remember saying, like, oh, man, I bet this guy can have, like, 20-minute bloodbaths. Everyone was like, yeah, okay, dude, he has 3-minute matches.
I can't wait to see his match with MJF.
Oh,
It's going to be great.
And MJF is small enough, too. Like, he could probably... This is not a knock on MJF. He's just smaller than Wardlow. He could probably toss him like how Keith Lee tosses Isaiah Cassidy. You know, like...
Agreed. Right.
Maybe not as high, but definitely as far. Because, but... you know, Isaiah Cassidy got underrated hops, you know, but like...
Facts.
Isaiah Cassidy could have been a basketball player, let's be honest. But...
Shit, yeah.
Maybe he was. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, he's... clearly an athletic fucking
dude.
Freak.
Is that why Dante Martin? Hold on. Is that the secret? Is it Dante Martin should have actually been the shortest basketball player of all time? Like,
fugazi, man. Come on, man.
Yeah. Anyway. Wardlow. Incredible. Incredible stuff from Wardlow. Like,
do you feel like the story is kind of picking up some good pace, though?
Not really. To be honest with you, it still feels like it just doesn't. Maybe by the end of it, it'll feel good, but like, it feels like some.
That's the thing. I feel like the ending's starting to get closer, it's starting to get better in my mind. I feel like my brain's tricking me.
Do you think we're getting Wardlow versus MJF at Double or Nothing? Like, do you think that's when we're getting?
So I believe that's what, 4 more Dynamites, 3 more Dynamites.
Yeah, I mean they got time to build it. He needs to get his hands on MJF before then.
Oh, he really does. He will. He will.
It needs to be like 2 weeks out or something. That way we have time to digest it and then we can get the match when we're really, really wanting it, you know?
And we're due for some blood soon, man. We haven't had blood in a couple weeks.
Nah, we had blood in something. I forget what it was.
Yeah, we're due for some more. Let's get it rolling. Give me some corpse.
I forget what had blood in it.
After the match, they just set that up. And then we get back from the break and... The Jericho Appreciation Society sports entertainers make their way down to the ring.
Entertainers.
So this is just a face-to-face confrontation, very sports entertainer-like, which is fucking brilliant. The AEW Galaxy fucking got me.
The AEW Galaxy.
Garrett, I love this gimmick. And they did something later that was the ultimate sports entertainer thing. Jericho's a genius, dude. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, man. By the way, Eddie, I know I repeat this a lot, but every time he gets in one of these heated promos, he makes it just feel a little bit more real. And it felt like for a second, it crossed my mind. I was like, oh my God, did Jericho actually just really piss this guy off? Like, is he about to fucking shoot fight him here? Like, did he really just like, do something bad to
you
him?
Say we're going to put a hit on something. We end things. Like, dude, like Jesus, Eddie.
Like, dude, if There was a split second.
It's crazy how you could tell Eddie was not into this storyline at all, but now that Jericho is like taking it to that level, he's like, "Oh, this is gonna be awesome!" Like, so, it's so cool watching Eddie like be invested, like he was.
It is
in the few weeks with CM Punk, with who was he was just feuding with? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, really,
he's been feuding with big stars, man. Punk, Jericho, and then Miro. So, I can't imagine. They keep mentioning 5-on-3. Do they get another two teammates for this fight?
I saw this being a very popular topic on Twitter, and some people are saying they want to see a full LAX reunion.
Ooh, okay.
But I don't know if you can even do that.
I
don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Homicide, and maybe I'm missing someone else. I can't remember, but
oh, maybe. Geez. Yeah, I was looking at it. Anyway. Yeah, no, I don't know. It just really depends on what you want to do. I mean, who would it be just off the top of my head? It would have to could FTR be the anti-JAS because they're wrestlers? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't help but think maybe there's just a tag team out there just chilling that they could just be like, hey. You know,
I would have said like Top Flight or somebody like that. There's just somebody you could elevate. I don't know if Top Flight would have made sense, but just because like I could see them just a top team. You know what I mean? But I don't know who it would be. Who fits the mold?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of options that they have, and I
can't really think.
To counterpoint you, part of me thinks I do think they're actually going to go into this 5-on-3.
I think that's another possibility too. I think there's no reason why they wouldn't be able to win that. Like if they just like
yeah, because there's still a lot of meat there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I am fucking down with that for what it's worth.
Yeah, no, that storyline's getting hot. Pun completely intended. Later on,
Eddie Kingston, man. By the way, that little nugget CM Punk dropped. You know he's happy for everyone here except for Eddie Kingston. I'm telling you, man. That's the match. That is the match.
That's money. They're going to run it back. That back is money.
They're going to run that back for the world title, and it's going to fucking work. Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb, Philly Street Fight is next. Wait.
Did we run it back at like Double or Nothing next year when Punk's held the title for a year and Eddie Kingston?
I'd almost say Arthur Ashe this year. Part of me thinks it's going to be this year at Arthur Ashe.
Eddie has to beat him. No, because Eddie has to beat him for the title.
Yep.
Oh boy, Arthur Ashe, it's so soon, whatever.
Our Philly Street Fight of Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb. This got rolling fast. The kendo sticks were rolling. I gotta say, man, I was digging this match. I've been liking this feud. They tried
to do some unique stuff with like the chair and stuff like that. Like they did, this was not like your typical street fight. There was an H2O chant. That was interesting. When she cleared her eyes after the dust got thrown in them.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice little touch.
You never see that either. You usually missed, and like dust has been used before, but you just don't usually see that in a street fight. Like, oh, I guess technically that is legal. You don't really think about that.
Part of me thought it should have been cocaine, and it hyped her up. Like, imagine if she just went fucking macho mode.
Dude, that would be actually. We need Joe. Oh, I wish Joey Janela hadn't just like on.
I know he's so creative, dude. Oh, I can't.
He could have done that, and then he would have been. Oh, anyway, or whatever.
And I guess that probably
you know Joey Janela would do that shit. He'd be like, oh yeah. But anyway.
But yeah, anything else from this match? I mean, I really like this, and I like the winner. Super physical. Serena Deeb picking up
the
win.
She was laying in the kendo shots. Like she was laying them in. Like,
how do you feel about Deeb being the winner?
I really like Deeb winning. I think Deeb might need Rosa's next challenger.
It's starting to feel like that, dude. Deeb theoretically wins the feud, too, so it's 3-2 now, and I think the feud's done unless they meet in the tournament.
Yeah, I think there's a good possibility that's the next challenger. I think Nyla Rose may get another shot at the title for some reason, because they like to do that with the AEW Women's World title. So that may be the Double or Nothing match. But they could go straight up and just be like last 2 weeks, book it like they did with Statlander. So I mean I don't know. It just depends on what they wanna do. They got a month, so they could still build it up. I guess if they really wanted to.
Yeah, I've got more than enough time. And speaking of that, as soon as Serena Deeb wins, Thunder Rosa is shown backstage with Lexi Nair, and yeah, Thunder Rosa is just watching the match, and then Lexi Nair is with MJF, and this is pretty much MJF saying, "Wardlow's next challenger is." bigger than him, stronger than him, and you can't teach that. So he's clearly hinting that it'll be W. Morrissey, which is also known as, better known as Big Cass. And, you know, yes, big 7 foot man who's crushing it in Impact right now. He's, there was actually a really cool little interview out with Morrissey here, and pretty much the guy's gotten himself back on track. I mean, he infamously had that seizure at a show, and, you know, he's been getting back on track with his life, and I love a success story more than a sad story. And if, you know, this is huge for him, I'm sure.
It was just an unfortunate situation for him and Enzo, you know.
Yeah, like that, the way things that ended. Got fucking blown up. He had left with bad beef, and then, you know, clearly his life took a turn for the worse there, and, you know, he might, in probably other universes, he wouldn't be here today with how that whole situation went, and it's glad to absolutely see him back on track. So, W. Morrissey versus Wardlow. Cool.
Should be a really fun match.
Yeah. And I like that we haven't announced who it is yet, by the way. They're keeping it secret.
Yeah.
Back from the break, lights go out, and Fuego del Sol's corpse is laying down.
Bro.
That's a meme.
Fuego has literally been killed. Like,
you had a great one. That I don't know if you want me to repeat the meme, but you had a great one.
Yeah, that was a Nyla Rose post. So if Nyla felt okay sharing it, I don't care.
Yeah, that was beautiful. And so Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews are making their way down, and Malakai's about to remove Fuego's mask, but Sith Eternal is in the ring, and he says it's time for House of Black to get blindsided. Penta makes his way out, so does Pac, and then Alex, which means the man in the hood, is the returning Ray Phoenix.
Garrett. My return radar struck again.
Oh my god.
I mentioned Ray Phoenix last week.
This fucking trio match is gonna fucking be so good.
This match is gonna fuck.
Gonna do. We're gonna look like Fuego after the match, for fuck's sake, dude.
Literally. No, that's what we're going to look like after the baddies match.
Oh, wait. My God. I can't wait to talk about that.
Actually, that's kind of what the baddies jobbers looked like after their match.
It is. And Excalibur announced a Swerve will face Darby Allin in an Owen Hart tournament on Friday, which got a big pop out of me. Swerve says he's looking to turn Rampage into Swerve's house. Darby says Swerve can't keep coming into companies and saying it's their house. And this is cool because these guys go way back to Defy. And this is kind of...
That's why when Darby came out with what's that guy? That guy that never showed up on AEW that they signed.
Yeah, the 16-year-old. I'm forgetting his last name, but Nick something.
Yeah,
Nick Wayne.
Guy. Nick Wayne. Yeah. I guess he'll probably, when he's old enough, he'll
sign. Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, that's why when Swerve just popped out like out there while Darby was out there, because you know.
Yeah. This got me excited, man.
Yeah, think about it. This technically goes all the way back to there, like this current storyline between the two of them. So that's kind of cool if you really think about it.
Yeah, and we'll dive into that a little more on Rampage here. But Garrett, we get the Undisputed Elite in the match finally. Adam Cole. Yeah,
what a team. Varsity Blondes, Dante Shoddy, and Brock. All right.
Yeah. It works, I guess. But the Undisputed Elite kicked the shit out of them. There was some great spots in this for what it was. The big thing here being that they got the shirt at the end. Are they setting up the Undisputed Elite to be the ones to face Jericho, Appreciate Society? Are they going to be the ones to face, you know, the Combat Club? Who knows? Opportunities are endless.
Jericho lights out.
Yeah, it could be beautiful. We need a stadium stampede live in the stadium. No.
Stadium stampede with an audience.
But this was fun, man. Cole got the boom on Johnson. Followed after the BTE trigger. I mean, the match was what it was, but yeah, Julia Hart again sitting there.
Yeah, she could care less that everyone's dying in the ring.
That storyline's moving slow, the Julia thing, but I'm guessing we'll see that.
I noticed on Dark they had changed the way her eye like looked a little bit with the makeup.
Okay, cool. Good. Yeah, that's
so maybe that's some progression. Maybe they are going to do something with her. I would love for her to be the female member of the House of Black. I would love that.
That'd be great for her. That would be fucking great for her.
I would love it.
But yeah, Undisputed Elite win the match. Yeah. Then we get the fireball. So Jericho, you know, he's all about sports entertainment. So what does he do? throws a fucking fireball at Eddie Kingston.
Bro.
I saw people being like, why would they do that? That's so dumb. That's the point. That's what this literally gimmick is. This gimmick is so fucking, it's ludicrous. They're literally pulling up the fireball that was used last year with Alexa and Randy. And I saw people being like, oh, I like how people, you know, like the AEW fireball, but shot on this one. It's like, guys, you're missing the point of all this. And I can understand missing the point of it, but fireball is the ultimate.
I think people have that reaction because of the stupid barbed wire exploding death match. I think that's why they have that initial reaction.
They should do that again with Jericho Appreciation Society.
Oh my God.
No, they won't.
Exactly the same way too. Like,
and they should be hyping it up as that, and then fucking all hell breaks loose. No, but no, that was cool. That was fun. This is fun. Was it needed? Hell no, but that's the point. And then we had the main event, which we already talked about. So, yeah, Garrett, Dynamite, man, lots of wrestling. But we love lots of wrestling, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to know, like, a stats breakdown. 2 hours
of wrestling to 2 hours of promos.
Yeah, I would love to know a stats breakdown of how much wrestling is actually on this show. Because I feel like within the two-hour program, it's probably like an hour and 35 minutes or something.
Some episodes, it's just brutal, though. Like, I'm going to be honest with AEW. Sometimes they'll, like, take a five-minute break for promo time, like...
You're not wrong. So let's hop into Rampage. Funny enough, we didn't have any favorites of it, but that's not knocking the show. Rampage kicks off. They did the classic entrances on YouTube, and Swerve Strickland and Darby Allin are.
I'm starting to like hate that. By the way, I understand they only have an hour, but like, still,
no, yeah. You know, if they didn't have an hour, I'd be down with it. But believe it or not, I do watch the YouTube thing before. I don't know what's fucking wrong with me, but I have been doing that. I can't tell you.
Probably watch the Road to Dynamite too, you freak.
There's been some weeks. No, but Swerve and Darby get out there. This match wasn't too long, but for what they had, it was going pretty good. But your guy here, man, Ricky Starks, fucking asshole, kind of.
Yeah, was the interference really necessary here? I mean, like.
Yes, because Ricky hates this guy. And Ricky's an asshole. In character. And
yeah,
he wants to fuck with him. So he left the commentary table. By the way, Jericho fucking giving him credit for doing that was awesome. I like that They don't ignore that shit. And yeah, so the whole point here was it was a good match. It was back and forth. Swerve hit his beautiful finisher and pretty much shit's going down. Ricky comes out there and Darby ends up planting Swerve with the Last Supper for the 1-2-3. So not a clean finish, but not every match in this tournament has to have a clean finish. And it progresses the Team Taz versus Swerve and Keith Lee match. And
yeah, I guess, will that probably, do you think that'll be a like pay-per-view thing? Like,
you know, I don't know the route that they're going to go with that. I would think that it will be, but part of me is,
I don't think you have a spot for both on the pay-per-view per se. But
one of them might be the tag titles hot-shotted to him soon, and that might be the tag title match at the pay-per-view.
Maybe.
We'll see. So, well, yeah, we'll see about that. But anything else from the match you wanted to add? I mean, for what it was short, but it was good, you know?
They hit one of my favorite spots of the week in this match, which was a low pay, which I guess is what they call Darby's second rope dive into a knee strike, which was really nicely sold.
Yeah.
They also keep people, like, I guess people think suplexing to the floor is cool now because FTR did it with the Briscoes and now the FTR did it in their match. So I guess now everybody does this. I don't know.
It's a copycat league.
But yeah, no. The finish was cool. I don't know. Like, I wanted this match to be more, to be honest with you. Like, it's not, it just didn't have enough time.
It's only an hour show. I think for what it was fine, but I hope when they run it back.
It didn't disappoint me as much as the middle of the card match, so.
Yeah, so I hope they run this back, they get more time, and it's great. Right after the match, we get Sean Spears backstage. He's hyping up the 7 foot tall, and has pinnacle potential. Mean anything to you?
I mean, I think he is. I think it makes sense that they're going to need a new big man in the pinnacle, so if Morrissey's the guy, great.
Yeah. I'm cool with it if he's the guy.
But especially now that Satnam Singh's like a player. You know what I mean? Like,
which, by the way, apparently he did wrestle at the Dark tapings. So
Garrett, I saw that, yeah.
That is fucking great news. I can't wait to see what he does in the ring.
Absolutely. He's, even if he's not like great, even if he's still learning, I'd love to, I want to see it. I want to see it.
We get back to commentary where Excalibur grills Chris Jericho about his attack on Eddie Kingston. Jericho ignores it, names himself the sports entertainer of the week. And Santana and Ortiz rush down, chase Jericho off. And yeah, we had a commercial break. We get the debut of the baddies. Jade Cargill, Kiera Hogan, and Red Velvet with simp Mark Sterling. Garrett, that entrance. Dude. Perfectly in sync. This they've somehow made Jade's character even better. It fucking
kudos. I'm officially dubbing baddies TikTok thick talk, but anyway, thick go talk. On.
Yo, I actually did see that TikTok. My God. Kiera Hogan, Red Velvet, awesome. Versus Willow Nightingale, Trish Adora, and Sky Blue. Willow and Trish, they signed them yesterday. But no, this was awesome. Trish, unfortunately, had to eat the pin. But I think that's because this was her second time here. And this will not be the last time Trish is in AEW. Straight up. She's one of the best fucking women's wrestlers in the world. I believe PWI had her at number one in the world. And yeah, so this was great. I mean, I'm not going to say this was great. This was great debut of the new team, right?
Yeah.
That's what this accomplished. Any of them set up for Jade's next challenger out of this group, you think, or no?
I mean, and you want to throw Willow in there? I mean, why not?
I'm like, in, right? I'm fucking in.
She'd be the one, but I don't know.
I was kind of hoping we'd see like Willow Nightingale's All Elite. Wasn't the case.
Yeah, not likely. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like they're going to sign
this
her.
This was what it was.
She's in Ring of Honor. Let her be in Ring of Honor.
Cool. Yeah. This was what it was. We see Tony Schiavone backstage with Darby Allin and Swerve. Darby says he didn't. This is way off, but that's not how they wanted it to end. And pretty much Swerve says Darby had nothing to do with Ricky Stark's interference, which I think I like that they addressed that. Like, what? He wasn't a fucking idiot. Like, yo, bro, why'd you send Starks after me? You know, he didn't fucking. No, but he wants Darby to win the cup. And in the meantime, he's going to call up Keith Lee and help settle things with Starks and Hobbs. I'm in. I mean, absolutely. I got nothing more, you know. I got nothing more for that. But Keith Lee versus Colton Gunn. This was pretty boring. Quick for what it's worth. But Keith Lee just kind of beat his ass. I want to say that there were some shots at the dad on commentary that were pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This hit a commercial break at a weird time. And, I mean, this wasn't great. This was just kind of there, right? This was to get Keith Lee on TV.
And then the next segment just made me
wonder. Which they've done great with Keith Lee, by the way. I've loved their presentation with Keith Lee.
No, he still looks strong in this. It's just they just kind of derailed Colton Gunn and the guns a little bit, you know, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. The ass boys. You know, I think they got a perfectly fine. They need to get them back at the tapings. Hopefully they were there. I haven't seen all the, like, I don't know the list of everyone that's at the tapings.
Yeah, they were pretty common on, they were on like every episode of Dark for like months.
Yeah, it works for them too. Backstage, we see Tony Schiavone with Matt and Jeff.
And what? No, pause. Because they're like, their characters, I mean, they're obviously, you know, prima donnas, but they're also like, they're workhorses. That's their whole thing. That's what Billy Gunn's thing is. Like, he was the workhorse of the group of people he was with. But anyway.
Didn't he say something like, we need to go talk to her? Oh, no, that's later. We'll get into that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. Actually, I think that's more just setting them up, not them teaming with the Acclaimed when the Acclaimed come back. You know, I don't know who that's going to be, but someone's clearly going to team with the Acclaimed, but I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, so Jeff is going to be stepping into the solo dimension for the Owen Hart Foundation tournament, where he will face Bobby Fish. I believe that's a combination of like 90 years old or something. So that'll be cool. I don't think it's that high, but it's pretty funny. It's the old.
I don't know. Is Jeff 50? It might be.
Yeah, right. No, Jeff's probably still in his 30s. We then see a highlight package of the Undisputed Elite's win from this past Wednesday. Cool. Back at the ringside area, Danhausen's making his way to the ring with a microphone in hand. Hook makes his way down, and he has a face-to-face. And Hook says, we're doing this right now. Mark comes down, says everyone needs to hold up. Tony Nese attacks Hook from behind and shifts his attention to Danhausen, who he also attacks. Sterling gets in the ring, and Hook takes him out and then fires back at Nese, who retreats alongside Sterling. And Danhausen tries to shake Hook's hand. Hook grabs Danhausen, but lets him go and leaves. I think the funny thing here was Hook scared off Sterling, but it made it seem like Danhausen cursed him. Again, they haven't shown the cursing on TV. The one time I saw it was with Regal, and that was off TV, and Regal's a fucking genius. Regal's so awesome. You know he wanted to do that. You know he fucking wanted to. And, but yeah, so again, this kind of confirms our theories here of Hookhausen. I think they're going to run them as a tag just because they want to use them both. Because it's a fucking... It's over. This is the... And I hate to say it. This is kind of their new Orange Cassidy, where it's going to be a comedy gimmick, but it's also going to get serious when they get in the ring. It's weird to say that while they still have Orange Cassidy, but yeah, I mean, what did you think of the face-to-face?
Just kill me already, please. Burn me at the stake. Like, throw me off a building.
Look,
you know Taz hates this, and I agree with him.
I don't think he does.
He should hate this, then.
I don't know, man, because they're over.
But Hook was already over. He didn't need it. Like he, now when Hook stayed over, I don't know. Maybe if they booked him on TV, he would have.
I don't know. I don't think Hook needs this. I do agree with that. However, I think this is a good spot for him to go.
No, you know who definitely doesn't need the association with Hook at all, and that's my opinion? It's Danhausen. Like, he doesn't need... Like, what does Danhausen gain from this other than, like, I don't know.
Hopefully, when we see him return to the ring, if he's cleared yet, hopefully it's soon, he impresses. And maybe Hook can help him impress. I don't know. It's this idea of sticking the new guy with the two new guys, right? I don't know. It's this comedy mystery. But you also have Hook, who has this presentation of, like, a UFC fighter. It's... I don't know.
That's why, like, I think you're just taking a character that's potentially, like, one of your serious heels that you could have once he actually gets into the heel side of things, because he still wrestles kind of like a babyface, you know? Like,
yeah. I agree with that. I do think he's going to be a good
heel. You're throwing it away. You really are throwing it away, because you're not going to get back to that same level with Hook once he's done this for 6 months, you know? Like,
well, I think in other companies that would stay true, but I think this is just... I think this is also going to be warming Hook up to the crowd still. He's still so raw. You know, this is their way of doing the Hook story and changing it from Wardlow's story, or changing it from insert other wrestler's story. It's just changing it in a different way, and they're going to do it in a comedy/serious tag. I don't know. I'm curious how it's going to work. I am curious how it's going to work in the ring, too. But yeah, back from the break, Lexi Nair's backstage with the Gun Club. Austin and Colton make excuses for Colton's loss. Max Caster and Anthony Bones of the Acclaim make their way and say they want to join forces with them. And they say they have to go talk to their dad, Billy and Garrett. They were trying to do the scissor thing with them. And then Anthony did it to Lexi and she just shook her head and walked away. And then decided to do it with Max. Now, why is that so funny to me? That's my humor.
That's why they do it, because they know it's fucking annoying. Like,
you want a scissor with us?
You want a scissor with us? She's like, no.
No. Lexi.
Like, no, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. But yeah, we come back to the ring where Ian Riccaboni joins commentary for this one. And Ring of Honor's ring announcer, Bobby Cruz, makes the introduction. And it's time for a main event of the evening. So I'm going to let you take this one away for us, but Samoa Joe versus Trent Barretta for the Ring of Honor World Television Championship.
AEW, I think, is starting to develop what I'm going to consider the AEW in-ring style, and this match was a perfect example of it. Hard-hitting, high-speed, lots of submissions. That's basically the AEW style. It's basically a bite off of New Japan, a bite off of Ring of Honor, bite off of PWG, bite off a new, the other Japanese promotions, like the Japanese women and the Japanese men, like the DDT stuff. A throwback to some of the old school Japanese style. It is basically all of those things combined into what I just talked about. And that's what the AEW in-ring style is developing to be. And I love it.
Beautiful.
And it's why I love putting Joe versus Trent, because both guys spent time in Japan. Both guys have a hard-hitting style. I would love to see Joe versus Chuck Taylor as well, but I think if you're going to put him against somebody in this group, it's got to be Trent. And
we have been talking about
never held a singles title in Ring of Honor, I don't believe. So,
and just to kind of add something to this for you, we had been talking about Trent in recent months, saying this guy's been back and he's been putting on great work. And I feel like this is a little bit of a reward in a way, main eventing for a title match on Rampage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, hey, man, you did a really good job. You're not going to win today, but we're going to push you against Joe because Joe needs a really solid challenger, and you can absolutely provide that. I was a little disappointed. I thought they would have a little more on the stick against each other in the pre-match, but whatever, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, I'm with you. I thought this was good. I'm really liking Samoa Joe and his route in AEW/Ring of Honor. I think it's off to a fun little journey right now. You know, I'm just liking what they're doing with Samoa Joe. And I
like having the Ring of Honor people come in for Ring of Honor matches too. Like, I like that. It's interesting.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if we're going to see Yuta do his title matches too. So that's the one I'm curious of what they're going to do. Potentially.
I would love to have Danielson on commentary for that.
Oh, for my God. Wouldn't that be good?
No, here's your commentary team. Just have everybody else go to the back. Sorry, Excalibur, you too. Danielson and Punk, pure title match commentary.
You want to get those pure title matches over? There you go. There you go. But yeah, Trent rushes at Joe. Joe planted with the Uranagi. Then he locked in the Coquina clutch.
No, wait, actually, three man. Throw Taz in there. Taz knows submissions. Like, what am I talking about?
Fuck it, throw Taz. No, we need Chuck Taylor on commentary, bro. And he needs to be able to drop F-bombs. After the match, Joe and Trent shake hands, and Tony Schiavone comes to the ring to talk with the champion.
Hey, what the fuck are you doing to Trent?
Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and Satnam Singh immediately interrupt, and they rush the ring. And Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy cut them off, and a brawl ensues. So, setting up.
Orange Cassidy versus Satnam Singh is probably going to happen, and I want it. Please.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Satnam Singh work. Like,
is that Satnam Singh's match at Double or Nothing?
I don't think he gets on Double or Nothing. That Come would fucking on. Shock me. Straight up Come that would on. Shock me. Nah. I
mean, something from Ring of Honor is going to be on there, obviously.
You think? I'm guessing they're going to save it all for Ring of Honor shows and random shows.
I mean, there
like
hasn't
this.
Been a Ring of Honor world title match in a while, so I would think.
Yeah, so we'll see with that. I'm God, who even
I mean, they did the one on, what was it, on Battle for the Belts, but I mean, that I feel like they needed to do that one. Like,
yeah, we need to get Dalton Castle back. I wonder if that guy worked dark.
Dalton Castle should be... he kind of feels like he fits AEW. Dalton Castle joins the best friends. Come on.
I'm down. But yeah, that'll do it for Dynamite and Rampage. So, yeah, I mean, overall, it was a good week again. It's every week.
Dude.
When it's a bad week, that's when we get worried. We're like, what the fuck's going on here? Hold on.
Hey, I teased it a couple times throughout the show. I got to get your opinion on this. We have a match coming next week.
Okay.
Deonna Purrazzo versus Mercedes Martinez for the undisputed Ring of Honor Women's World title.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to be a crazy match, I have a feeling.
Do you think it opens or closes the show, or do they hold that?
I think either or. I don't know if it's going to open or close. I think it would make sense to let it main event.
Especially if this is people's first watch of Deonna Purrazzo.
But I think I think do the same thing you did for the Joe match. You know, maybe even have Riccaboni back out there or something. Like,
oh, yeah. I think they're going to.
I think I really like this, what they've been doing with the melding of like the universe into one universe. Like, KW is basically just Ring of Honor now too. Like, it's until they figure out what they're doing with Ring of Honor, you know, fully, you know, television wise and stuff. It's just like now AEW is just AEW and Ring of Honor for a little bit, you know? But that match should be really fun. Dynamite. I mean, Dynamite has just been like so stacked for like weeks now. It's just like, I don't even know what to do. Like,
it's unbelievable. But yeah, let's the other matches we had: Jeff Hardy versus Bobby Fish, Owen Hart Cup qualifier. Do you think there's any chance Bobby Fish wins?
I mean, I think there's a chance if Jeff Hardy like hurts himself in the match or something, you know.
fair.
I mean, it could happen. You could like take a bad fall and they'd be like, "Yo, I'm gonna be out," you know? And be like, "Oh shit!"
I would be genuinely shocked if Jeff Hardy lost. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You got to have some big names in the tournament besides just like the young people, you know.
Yeah, Wardlow versus what we're assuming is W. Morrissey. They might pull a fucking ratchet out and it's Enzo, which I hope not. I really don't want to see Enzo.
That would be some shit.
Would be some shit, but I hope not. So, yeah, that'll be fun. Deonna Purrazzo and Mercedes Martinez, like you just mentioned. Garrett, who do you think's winning?
I think Deonna Purrazzo.
I think it's going to be Mercedes Martinez. Because Deonna did not sign with
double DQ.
I'm wondering if Deonna didn't sign, and maybe she's sticking with Impact. So they're gonna.
If she did sign, like to AEW Ring of Honor or to one or the other, I think
I think if she signed to AEW, she loses. If she signed to Ring of Honor, then she wins. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So that'll literally be interesting. But I'm gonna take Mercedes in that, and you're taking Deonna. Cool, cool. I think
Deonna's just so hot right now, dude.
Agreed. I would let the main event.
Yes.
I would like their entrances to start at like 9:37, and they fucking just get the full like last 20 minutes of the show.
Yep.
The grudge match: Chris Jericho versus Santana. I got Jericho in this one.
Same.
The Butcher, the Blade, and Angelico versus the Blackpool Combat Club.
Angelico.
Yeah, I'm pronouncing it three different ways tonight, apparently. Angelico. I got Blackpool Combat Club. You think any chance those three guys want to join them?
Maybe Angelico or something like that. Go ahead and continue. I need to use the restroom again. I'm sorry, everyone.
No, you're good. Yeah, we're about to close out anyway. So, and then on AEW Rampage, we have Hook in action. I'm guessing they're going to maybe tee up some more stuff with him and Dunhausen. And then we got Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Jamie Hayter versus Tony Storm and Ruby Soho. So, yeah, I mean, Rampage is looking good, too. Dark's looking good. Slight spoilers for that. But, yeah, overall, it's looking like a pretty good week here. So, yeah. So, yeah, all in all, next week it's looking pretty good. But, yeah, Garrett, any closing thoughts going into the week?
Just really proud of Angelico for finally learning how to do a wrist lock properly.
God damn it. Okay, fair enough. GG. but yeah.
Says the guy who's never wrestled a match.
Like. But yeah, Garrett, I know you are streaming all week. It looks like on your schedule, you got some Dark Souls action. They can catch you at the Duke of Derps on Twitch. And if you guys stuck around for this, I mean, how are you guys liking the longer episodes? We've kind of moved from 60 minutes to now we're hitting like 80, 90, pretty particular usually. We're trying to like, we're like unintentionally doing this, but we're spending more time on like our favorites and some of the more bigger news topics, more bigger. Look at that English. And yeah, we're just kind of soaking it in and trying new stuff.
Drink it in, man.
I think all in all, we have like a goal of, you know, as this gets really going and AEW is going to have more shows. I mean, Double or Nothing week, we'll probably have another three shows that weekend. Like that's just the way it is. And it's fun stuff. So we'll catch you guys again. When you catch this next week, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, whenever you guys catch this episode, we really appreciate it. Appreciate all the downloads. But yes, we will see you guys on the flip side there, brother.
Catch you on the flip side, baby.
Bye, y'all.
Hey, yo, baddies. Hey, yo.